Is it registering there? I know, bro. I told you. That's good. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 5 now, continuing on the results of salvation. We've already seen when we got saved the doctrine of imputation. We were imputed, given the righteousness of God, and our sins were imputed to Jesus Christ. We were justified. Justification. We've been redeemed. Redemption. We've been sanctified. Sanctification. And now we've been reconciled. Look in Romans chapter 5. Reconciliation. Before you were saved, the Bible makes it real clear that you were God's enemy because of the fact that you were a sinner. You were the enemy of God. Thank God, God loved his enemies enough to give us his son. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 8 in Romans 5. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, because we're sinners, that makes us God's enemies. See? Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies... Now, what does the Bible mean there? It means what it says. What does it say? We were what? Enemies. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Thank God. We've been reconciled. We made up. We've been made at peace with God. Amen? We're no longer his enemy. We're now his friend. We've been reconciled to God. Look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What is that? We're now the friend of God. Before we were in Christ, we were the enemy of God. We've been made a new creature now that we can get along with God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. What does that mean? When somebody says so-and-so passed away, what do they mean? They're done. They're died. They're buried. It's over. See? And that was you. That old man has passed away. Everything. From the minute you got saved, everything before that is gone in God's eyes. You are now the friend of God. That's why, listen, it doesn't matter if you got saved when you were 5 years old and the worst thing that you had ever done is spit on your brother. Or if you got saved when you were 50 years old and you'd done just about everything under the sun. It doesn't matter. When you get saved, both of you are just as just. You've both been sanctified. You've both been reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So he says in verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? You've been made a friend of God. You were God's enemy. And God sent someone your way and told you how you could be saved. And now you got saved. God says, all right, now you're my friend. Now you got a ministry. See who you can reconcile. See who else you can bring back to me. Let them know I'm willing to receive them if they'll come. That's God's orders to us. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. See? God did all that to bring us back to him. This idea that, well, you know, why did God let this happen and let this happen and let this happen? If there was really a God, what? Listen, you know what God did? God came down as a man God offered His life for you and I. God has gone far and above the call of duty to save you and I. If someone doesn't get saved, it's not going to be God's fault. It's just not going to be. See, God has gone far and above to reconcile us. Verse 19, what God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's reconciliation. That's what the Lord did for us when he purchased us. He we're no longer the enemy of God. The Bible says about you and I now as Christians, what are we? Look over there in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look in verse 31, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be our enemy, we're saved now. He's no longer our enemy now. What do we got now? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, He's on our side now. He's no longer our enemy. He's on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Isn't that good? Isn't it good to have God as your friend? I remember when He was my enemy. I'm so glad He isn't anymore. I'm so glad me and Him have been reconciled through the death of His Son. Amen. Thank God. And so what God did when He reconciled me is He adopted me. He adopted me into His family. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. That's how you remember it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. What's that? Yeah. Yes. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I thought he said, is that in order? Ephesians that wasn't in order, brother. That was just preaching, which means you don't have to do it. Verse 5. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know why God adopted us into His family when He saved us? Yeah. Because He wanted to. It was His good, it pleased Him to say, you know what? Not only am I going to save you, what I want to do now is I want to adopt you into my family. I want to be a father to you. I want you to be my son now. There's a new relationship that has begun from this point on. And so what God did is He adopted us into His family. Look right before Ephesians in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I sure hope you appreciate your salvation. You get a hold of this stuff, man. I don't want to do something for you. You think the world has anything like this to offer you? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law. You were under it all right. It was hanging right over you, ready to crush you. And God pulled you out, man, before they yanked the chain and let the thing fall on you. Verse 5, redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. We now look to God as our Father. You couldn't do that before you were saved. You could pray a prayer about it, but even then it had to be general and it couldn't be personal. It wasn't my Father, it was our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. But you weren't looking to God as your Father. That happens after you get saved. Now he's your father. And you call him Father. Abba, Father. He's your daddy. He's your father. I got a sermon. It's called Who's Your Daddy? Yeah. And that's the idea of that thing. Is God is supposed to be your father. He's your dad now. He's adopted you into his family. Amen. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant. You got to get that. I hear a lot of preachers preaching that. You got saved, the Lord bought you and you're his now and he owns you and you're his servant. You're like, wait. You ought to serve him. But you ain't a servant. Jesus Christ said that to his disciples. He says, a servant knoweth not what his master doeth, but you know what I do. Therefore I call you not a servant, I call you friends. See? Now that was before the cross. After the cross, he says, I'm not going to call you a servant anymore. I'm going to call you a son. See, you may have just been a servant. You may have been a slave out there, out on the chopping block, looking for the highest bidder to take you and abuse you and use you any way they would. And the Lord came by and said, I'll buy him, and paid his blood to purchase your soul and take you unto himself, and said, I'll tell you what. Instead of you just being out there in the field and working the crops and all that, why don't you do this instead? Why don't you come home to my house and be my son? That's what he did. See, he didn't just make you a servant; he made you a son. Verse 7: Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son then an heir of God through Christ. See, what's the difference? You now have an inheritance. Why? Because guess who your father is. You've been adopted into the family, so now you get an inheritance. A servant can't get an inheritance. We can. It's an eternal inheritance. It fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. That's what the Lord's done for us. Right. Right. Thank God. Yeah, he can't never look back now and take his name off you. You got his name. See? Your kids may sometimes do things that you don't appreciate. And it might even get to the point after a while where you can't even fellowship with them. But they'll still have your name. They'll still be part of the family. They always will be. No matter what. Why? Because they're your kids. Amen? Isn't that good to know? Yeah. Maybe not for some of you. I don't know. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Y'all are a mess. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again. There it is again. Say, you haven't received the spirit of bondage. You're not a slave. I'm sorry. I'm trying to wake them up, not you. All right. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and as children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's that joint heirship. There's one heirship, that's the eternal inheritance. You already got that when you got saved. There's another one that's earned. That's being a joint heir with Christ. That has to do with ruling and reigning. See? That's what we're working on right now. I hope you are working on it. If not, you'll regret it when you get up there. I guarantee it. There isn't one person that doesn't live for the Lord down here, when they get up there, won't regret it. Just as Esau did, sold his birthright for a morsel of pottage, for the flesh. And the Bible says, and he never got his inheritance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It ain't going to be time up there to repent of that. You got to do that now, and you got to get busy and do something for the Lord. Because what you do for the Lord here, the Lord is keeping books. He's keeping track, and he's going to pay you back tenfold up there. I guarantee it. You aren't going to regret living for the Lord down here. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I'm telling you, you won't regret living for the Lord down here when you get up there. The payment plan is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So invest. Invest all you can down here. That's my advice. Now, if you take my advice, we get to heaven, you're going to hug my neck and thank you. And thank me for giving you that advice, and I'll thank you for taking it. Amen. And if you don't take my advice, you'll say, I should have listened to you. Amen. And I'll be up there saying, told you so, told you. No, I won't. Verse 18, for I reckon, there it is, there's a southerner for you, Paul's a southerner. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? There's something in us that can't wait until we can get out of here and get our real body. That's what it means. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And that's what we look and long for, is when we'll get out of this body, this house of clay, this flesh, that's holding us back from being what we really know we want to be and can be for the Lord. And that's the completion of our redemption when that occurs. All right, look now in John chapter 3 and the idea of regeneration. What happened when you got saved is you were born again. You were given new life. You were regenerated. You were quickened. You were made alive. See? That whole thing, that's what that's talking about. You were regenerated. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees. You see that? Man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, comest from God, for no man can do the things that thou doest, except God be with him. Flattering the Lord, and the Lord turned around, and what did he say? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's that. You know, that simple. You either have to be born again, or you ain't getting in. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And what does the Lord say to him? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, see, there you have to be baptized to enter the kingdom of God. No, that ain't what he's talking about. Not talking about baptism there. Some people have a water fetish. They have a water fixation. And every time they hear water, they think baptism. And every time they see the word baptism, they think water. Which is a crazy thing. There's 7 baptisms in the Bible, and only 2 or 3 of them have anything to do with water at all. See? But that's just the way some people are. What did the Lord say? Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Referencing what? The water and the Spirit. Your first birth, water, was born out of what? It was born out of water. When you were first born, when you came out, her water broke. Isn't that what you say? You came out of water. See, that's your first birth. Your second birth, you must be born again, isn't a water birth. Your second birth is a spiritual birth. And the new birth has to do with a spiritual beginning. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That's not a recommendation. That's a command from Jesus Christ. You must be born again. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. What does it take for a birth? It takes a seed. What's the seed? It's God's seed. How does God get his seed into you? With 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You were given new birth by a seed, and that seed came through the living word of God. See? God's seed was put in you to give you birth through the word of God. That's the means by which that thing happens. It's through the preaching of the word of God. That's how the new birth comes about. Y'all with me on that? You understand that? Amen? There's other things you can use for witnessing tools, you know? Movies and all those things that people want to use, books, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's going to take the Bible, it's going to take God's words to bring the new birth. Amen. You with me?
Yeah.
All right, good. It's the preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He washed us and renewed us. So how did He do that? He washed us in what? Regeneration. In other words, when you came out born, you were born into Christ. In that process, there's a cleansing that takes place immediately through the blood of Christ. That's a wild thing. But what He says there is, you were what? According to the His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. When that birth takes place, there's a cleansing that's associated with that thing, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You were made new through the Spirit of God. That's why you're a new creature. You've been born again. See? Just like when a baby comes out, it's new. It's brand new. That's why babies are so great. See? They're innocent. They're perfect. They're pure. See? So what happens after a while? They turn into Doyle and Henry. And they yeah, they look at all that. What happened to them all? Hard to believe we were all babies at one time, huh? We were innocent. We were sweet. Everybody used to look at us and say, how cute. I mean, think about it. You realize at one time, Jeffrey Dahmer was a little innocent baby. Ted Bundy was a little innocent baby. Adolf Hitler. Isn't he cute? Look at that. Oh, hold his hands. Isn't that wild? See? Well, they were new then. Then something happened. See? Listen, when you get saved, you're made new and then you're kept new. You understand? You're not corruptible anymore. That new man that's born in there stays new. It stays innocent. It stays pure no matter what happens. You've been born again. Amen? Good to be saved. That's salvation. All right? Now, one other thing, you're given eternal life. By the way, along with everything else, along with everything else, the greatest of all is you're given eternal life. How many of you have eternal life? Raise your hand. Isn't that good to have eternal life? Now, how long do you think eternal life lasts? That's deep, isn't it? Right. Now, if you ever just got a hold of the fact that you had eternal life, would you ever have a problem with losing your salvation? Because if you ever could just get a hold of the Word, how could you have eternal life and then not have eternal life if you had eternal life? Right. Either they didn't have it to begin with, or somebody's talked them out of what they had. One or the other. Look at there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 7. 1 Corinthians 1, 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back to get you, He's going to take you. You're going to be blameless in His sight. You've been saved. Amen? You got eternal life. That's eternal security. The Lord did that for you when He saved you. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And like I said, on the back of this thing, you got a whole bunch more verses on all that. But these are a few to wet your whistle. That's the problem. When you go through a study like this, they start getting too excited, they get too happy, and then you lose control if you're not careful. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We be beside ourselves, it is for your fault. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore we are always confident. Right? Aren't we? We're supposed to be. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Because we know we're going to see Him one day. And when I stand before Jesus Christ one day, since I know I'm going to see Him, I want to make sure I don't appear before Him empty-handed. I want to stand before Him and say, Lord, I tried to make it worth Your while for what You had to go through. Tried to make it worth it. Walk worthy. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians 1. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all are already getting better with your Bibles. I can see that. It's good. You hang around here, you just start becoming a Bible expert. See? I remember when y'all first came here, I remember how it was. Yeah, I have to wait 10 minutes for you to find Romans and all that. Really, y'all, really, you're doing good. Doing good. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. See, our redemption isn't complete yet. Remember I told you that? Until when? The redemption of the purchased possession. What did He purchase? Your soul. See? And He's going to come and He's going to redeem it one day. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. He's the one going to get in the praise. We get the salvation, He gets the praise. Sounds like a good deal to me. All right, good. I like it. That's a win-win. Look in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. You're in. Couldn't get out if you wanted to. You've been sealed by His blood. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So what are we doing here? That's what we're doing. We're comforting each other. We're edifying each other. We're trying to be an encouragement to each other. Why? We know we're going to heaven. We just want to help each other along the way until we get there. Amen? All right, let's look in Titus chapter 1. Titus 1. Here's a good one here, Titus chapter 1. I'll wait for you all to find it. Titus, right after 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. Look with me at Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Read along with me, please. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What did God promise all the way from the beginning? Eternal life. Amen. Is God a liar? Did He promise to give you eternal life? Do you have eternal life? Well, then just believe God. Unless you think God's a liar. Do you understand when somebody says you can lose your salvation, they're calling God a liar? When somebody says that you can work for your salvation, they're calling God a liar? That's why I take it personal. Not for me personally, but for Him. Right. If you could earn it, why did He die? There you go. Look there in chapter 3, Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You got eternal life? I do. Look in Romans chapter 8 again, because it's good. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're looking forward to that day. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Yep, that's us. Say, what are we doing? We're being made subject to vanity. How many of you had to work this week? Raise your hands. Say, what's that all about? You've been made subject to vanity. Yeah, you got to go to work and make money for what? So you can eat? All right, where's all that food you bought last year? See, it's vanity. What are you getting out of it? You can get nothing. And anything you buy it, and then it rots and it falls apart, it's all vain. You see? We've been made subject to that. Did we ask for that? We didn't ask for that, did we? All right, let's look at that again. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. We didn't ask for it. It just happened. That's what we got. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. He says, it ain't always going to be like this. I've given you hope now. There's something better coming. Amen? Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We know it's going to happen, just ain't happened yet. I don't know much more patience I got there, John. Even so, come Lord Jesus. That's the answer. That's the answer to all the world's problems. It's Jesus Christ. That's it. It is not Katie Couric. It's not any politician. The hope for this world and the hope for you and I is even so, come Lord Jesus. That's it. That's real hope. We got a real hope. Look over there in verse 28, same chapter, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. What does that mean? The Lord's already predetermined ahead of time that one day you're going to look just like Jesus Christ. In a glorified body. That's what you got when you got saved, man. Do you understand that's not some fairy tale thing where, oh, I'm going to go to heaven and play a harp in it? This is real. And one day, and Lord willing, in our lifetime, we're going to hear a trumpet from heaven, and that thing's going to get louder and louder and louder, and all of a sudden it's just going to be like a... like that. And when that thing happens, we're all just going to, boom, we're going to change and look just like Jesus Christ. We're going to fly up through the ceiling and we're going to be in heaven in the presence of God and see him face to face. And it's going to be as real as it is being in this room right now. It ain't going to be no fairy tale high on drugs thing. It's reality. That's what you got when you got saved. You need to get a hold of your salvation. Listen, you get a hold of your salvation, you know what it'll do for you? It'll liberate you. Yeah, it'll liberate you. It'll set you free, see? Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Amen. And you get that freedom settled in your heart and in your life, it'll do you some good. Look at there, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate to be called, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God. That's what you got when you got saved. You got the real thing. All right, 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13. Thank God for the Bible. How much of this will we know without the Word of God? None of it, you see. It's all because of God's revealed Word. And because of His Word, we can know how to be saved, and we can know what we got when we got saved. You know what's unfortunate? I think there's a lot of Christians out there that are really Christians, and they got saved. And the problem is, they've never really grown. They've never even understood the things, listen, the things we're going over now are things every Christian needs to know within the first few months when they get saved. All right? These are things you need to get an understanding of and get settled in your heart. Because when you get this, like I said, that's the liberating part. That gets you firm. That gets you a foundation. And you can grow from there. You can go from there. See? But you need to get a hold of these basic truths, these basic doctrines concerning your salvation. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians, it's just like God just gave them a big old present, and He wrapped it, and He put a bow on it, and the Christians got that thing, and it's sitting there in the house, and they never opened it. See? They've never decided to take that off and get in there and really start looking to see what they got. See? The Lord's given it to us. It's a gift. Amen? It's a free gift. It's the gift of God, which is eternal life. And you get in there and start opening that app and looking in there, there's all kinds of things in there. We just scratched the surface. But I'll tell you what, you just stick around, and you hang around in these studies, and you hang around in your Bible, and hang around in church, and let God reveal some things to you. I'll tell you what, it ought to be a blessing every week. Every day, God ought to be able to show you something about Himself, about how good He is and what He's done for you. Amen. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We have a Bible so we can know we have eternal life. We have a Bible so that we can believe and get saved. And when we get saved, then we can know we have eternal life. Amen. Just believe His words. Just believe His words. It's good to be saved. All right. Any questions on anything that we've covered tonight? Anything you have a question on anything, don't be afraid to ask. Raise your hand. Got any questions? What y'all doing back there? Yes, question, Pauline. Yes. Yeah. Right. This is basic.
This is basic.
Well, yeah.
Well, where are the teachers that have known this? You know, that are teachers that know it and aren't teachers.
They're out of the inner circle.
I mean,
they've got the new American. Well, they're around. I mean, there are preachers and teachers teaching this stuff. There are. Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, I'm beginning to understand that. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple. There's a couple, but few and far between. You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're here now. God put us here for a reason, I guess, huh?
How far back do you think that we
could go? Well, if you probably go back 20 years ago, most of your Southern Baptist churches, you could have probably gotten some of this. But nowadays, unless they cover it in the Sunday bulletin thing, or, you know, unless they cover it in part of the Sunday school materials, Sister, in the average Southern Baptist church, if you had a Bible study like this and had a church of 400, you'd have about 3 people here. And they'd be the deacons just to make sure nobody else was pulling one over on them. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sad. Because how long did it take? 2 hours to cover all that? You see, if you didn't get it all, you still got the handout, and you can go back over it. You can get the CD until you really get it. But it's not complicated. This is what you got when you got saved. Which is just as bad as being proud of your education. They're both just as bad. It's not, you know, and a lot of them are cemeteries in the sense that, man, you ain't going to get any life there. The only thing they're going to teach you out of believing the Bible. And unfortunately, a lot of these places, what happens is you got guys that are saved and love the Lord and believe the book, and they go to some cemetery, and then they get talked out of their belief in the Bible, and then they end up arresting up other Christians because they were taught. The main problem is not in the churches. The main problem is in the seminaries. The main problem is in the Bible schools, because that's where everything else is proceeding from, and the devil knew that. That's why the devil got in the Bible schools in the 30s and the 40s, and we're seeing today the results of it. And the problem was the guys they had in there teaching the Bible schools were scholars. You want to show me that in here? You know who ought to be teaching in Bible schools? Soul winners and preachers that have been in the ministry a while and done some things and seen some things. See? And they don't. They got guys that are just around books all the time. That ain't how you get to know the Lord. That ain't how you get God to reveal things to you. See? Yeah. Well, of course, that's all they have for their authority. And what it is, sister, what's going on is that the people that are coming and sitting in those congregations are sitting down and watching Christian television to be entertained. And then they're coming in the church and they're saying, all right, preacher, entertain us. And they're expecting the same thing from the pulpit as they're seeing on Christian television. And that's why it's funny to me sometimes. You see some people come in here, you know that already. You just know just by looking at them. You know what they think they're going to get. And it's kind of funny because by the time we're done, that man, it just looks like they just eat a persimmon or something. You know, they're just what happened? You know, they're just that smile and then I just but or the other reaction is somebody all of a sudden you can tell this is somebody that's been looking for something real and finally found it. You know, yeah, right. Right, sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right, sure. Yeah. Because they don't have authority for their life. Go ahead, bro.
I got an example for you.
Mm-hmm. It's given him a lot of light, hasn't it? Huh? Doesn't even know if he's saved or not. Why would you want to go to a preacher to help you if he didn't even know he was saved? Yeah, I don't understand it. Yes. He's got a Benny Hinn outline, quite.
But in Hebrews 1:4, there are certain men
crept in unawares,
who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men,
turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness,
and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Way back there. Right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes, John? Okay. Well, they're just like any other. It's, yeah, like you said, it depends on the preacher that's there. As far as what they, usually they preach what the deacons let them preach. Most of them, that's the way they are. Well, because most of them are dead, brother. There's, the only way they can bring life is to bring in artificial worldly stuff to get people pumped up and excited about it. Yeah. It's not about the Word of God. It's not about the Spirit of God. It's about all the other stuff. See? But see, the Southern Baptists were based on Baptists. They're ranked in their doctrine. But most of them don't even know why. See, so how does that help you? Yeah. Right. Yeah, and they're only Baptists because they were born a Baptist. Or right. Come in. All right. You know, was there a second part of that? You said a two-part? Okay. All right, anybody else real quick? We'll call it a night. All right. Okay, now, next Friday, we'll have study next Friday. Friday after that, we won't. Okay? But next Friday, we will. So try and be here, please. Try and be here next Friday. It's an important study because what we're looking at now is from salvation. We're now going to look at salvation in reference to a Christian's standing and a Christian's state. Okay? If you can understand that, it's going to help you a lot in your Christian life. All right? So, Lord willing, next Friday, be here and we'll look at a Christian standing and a Christian state in lesson number 5. All right? Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Brother Doyle, you want to close us in prayer, please?